And so their teacher took them to a hands-on zoo so that they could, a place where you could feel and touch the animals, so that they could feel an elephant, and then after they have felt the elephant, describe it to not only their teacher, but to one another. And so he took the first blind pupil up and behind the elephant, and he reached up and grabbed the tail. And the teacher said, well, describe what an elephant is. And he said, well, an elephant is a little, long, round creature, sort of like a snake. Second one he took up to the elephant's ear and said, put your hands here. And the blind man put his hands on the elephant's ear. And the teacher said, describe it for the rest of us. And the blind man that was feeling the ear says, it's a big, flat, giant sheet that waves in the wind. He took the third man up to the front of the elephant so that he could feel the elephant's trunk. And the teacher said, describe the elephant for us. Well, it's long, round, and big, like the limb of a tree. He took the fourth one to one of the elephant's legs and said the same thing. Describe it to us. It's long, round, and big, like a mighty oak tree. He took the fifth one and said, to the tusk of the elephant, said, feel the elephant and describe what it's like to us. And the fifth blind man says, it's short, round, slick, like a slick stick. He took the sixth blind man up to the side of the elephant and said, feel here and describe the elephant to us. And the sixth blind man says, oh, an elephant is like a great big boulder or a great big rock, hard, unmovable. And as we hear that story, read that story, you know, you might ask the question, which one was right? Which one was wrong? Well, they were all wrong, but yet they were all right. In order to get the complete description of the elephant, you had to put them all together. You had to combine the descriptions. Same thing is true when it comes to our Savior. In the book of Matthew, Jesus is presented as the King of the Jews. In the book of Mark, he's presented as a servant. In the book of Luke, as the Son of Man. In the book of John, as the Son of God. Which one's right? They're all right. But to get the complete picture of Jesus, you got to put them all together because he was all of those things. Tonight, I want to make the same point as the elephant story and as talking about Jesus by looking at all four Gospels in regards to the Great Commission. The commission that God or that Jesus gave his disciples before he departed and went back to heaven. It's recorded five different times in the Bible, and I'm going to ask you to use your Bibles with me tonight. Sorry to do that. I know, you know, it might be an inconvenience, but by the way, we are in church, and you ought to have your Bibles, and it ought not to be an inconvenience to have to use them a little bit. But I want us to use our Bibles, and I want to look at the five times in the New Testament, once each in the Gospels and once in the book of Acts, that Jesus commissioned his disciples, instructing them to go and tell others about him. Each one's a little bit different. Each happened at a different time, all within those last 40 days that he spent upon earth. But to get the complete picture of not if we should go, because all five say that we should go, but to get the complete picture of how we should go, I think it's important that that tonight we look at these five different commissions, and I'm going to try to do it in the order in which I think they happened. I'm not locked in concrete on this. We may differ as to the order in which they happen, but I'm going to present them in the order in which I think they happen, and see what each has to say about how we should go. Take your Bibles, John chapter 21. John chapter 21, and we're going to look at verses 19 through 21. John chapter 21, verses 19 through 21. Here's what the Bible says. John chapter 20. 19 and 21. Then the same day at evening, John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. We go following the Great Commission as a son seeking to serve a father. Resurrection Day, evening of Resurrection Day. Behind locked doors were the disciples because of their fear of the Jews. Jesus comes, he stands in the midst. He says, peace be unto you. Then he showed them his hands and his feet. And they were glad when they saw him because they knew it was their Lord. And then he says there in verse 21, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. The commission that Jesus gave to his disciples, and by the way, at the same time gave to all of us, it was not started on earth. It was started in heaven. It was started in the heart of God. God the Father said to God the Son, the world is lost. It's dying in sin. They're on their way to hell. We've got to make a way for our children to come home. And by the way, God wants everybody to go to heaven. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He says, I want you to go and tell them how much we love them. I want you to go and tell them that we've devised a way for them to get their sins paid for. I want you to go and tell them that you're going to die in their place and in so doing pay for their sins. And I want you to tell them that if they'll put their trust in you, if they'll believe in you, their sins will be forgiven and they'll be made part of the family of God. Jesus came with that commission from his Father. He came and on many occasions while he walked the face of this earth said, I've come not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And what was the will of God the Father for God the Son? That he should go to seek and to save that which was lost. And so when Jesus gave his commission at this particular time, as recorded in the book of John to his disciples, he said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Go as a son serving his Father. Go as a son carrying out the will and wishes of his Father. Go as a son desiring to please his Father by being obedient in carrying out this commission. I still try to please my dad. Now I've told you, but he's sleeping most of the time now. He gets up and eats one meal. And it was funny, Thanksgiving Day. He got up, made a little breakfast, went right back to bed after breakfast, and we got him up to eat Thanksgiving dinner. So he ate just a little bit and then said, I'm tired, I got to go back to bed. And so, you know, we were enjoying family things. We were playing games, and we watched the football game, and as it was. And it got to be about 7 o'clock, 7:30. So I hear this voice from his bedroom, Daryl! And I go running in there. I said, what do you need, Dad? He said, who are all those kids out there? I said, they're your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. He said, oh. And then he said, don't you think it's about time they went home? So I go out and I tell my kids and I tell my nieces. I said, okay, Grandpa says you got to go home. It's time for you to go home. And I go back in. I said, Dad, they're not leaving right away, but they're on their way. He said, thank you. You're a good son. I said, well, Dad, even though sometimes you don't make any sense to me, it's still my desire to please him. I've told you before, when I was younger, I used to obey my dad because I was afraid he'd whip me if he didn't. The older I got, the more it came to the point where I obeyed him because I wanted to please him. I think that's the way it happens sometimes in our relationship with God. Sometimes we obey them because we don't want them to spank us. But we need to get to the point in our Christian life where we want to please our Father. And my desire for myself and my desire for every one of you is that when we get to heaven and we walk through that gate of pearl and we see our Savior, He'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And so we go on this commission to tell the world about Jesus Christ as a son serving his Father. Now, turn back to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 48. Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 48. Here's what the Bible says. "And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." As we carry out the Great Commission, we go not only as a son serving his Father, but we go as a witness telling what we know, telling what we've experienced. In Luke chapter 24, you know the story. Two of Jesus' disciples were on their way home on the road to Emmaus. Jesus saw them and went up to them. He says, "What are you talking about? Why are you so sad?" And they said, "Well, you must be a stranger here. You haven't heard what was happening." And they told him how Jesus was crucified. And the Bible says that Jesus began at Moses and took the scriptures and expounded to them from the scriptures, starting at Moses and through the prophets, all the prophecy concerning himself. They didn't recognize him. They got to the place where they were staying for the night, and they invited Jesus to come in, and he broke bread for them, and as he broke bread, their blinders came off, and they recognized that it was their Savior, and he disappeared. They went running back to Jerusalem, and so it was now close to midnight, and they came in and told the other disciples, "We've seen Jesus. He's been with us." And the second time, Jesus came and stood in the midst of that room with them, and he said, as we read in verse 48, "And ye are witnesses of these things. Not that ye shall be, but ye are." You're a witness. You've seen it. You've experienced it. You saw me suffer. You saw me die on the cross. You saw me laid in the grave. You knew that 3 days and three nights passed. And now you've seen me come back to life, resurrected. And so he says, "Here's my commission to you. Now go tell the world what you've seen. Go tell the world what you've experienced." And it's the same thing with us. We not only go as a son serving a father, but go as a witness sharing what we have experienced, sharing what we know. He saved us. We were sinners headed toward hell. We had no hope. There was nothing that we could do to change our destination. But the Son of God died in our place and offers us, for coming and taking it, eternal life and forgiveness from our sins. And not only did he save us, but he's in the process of changing us. And again, it just didn't happen all at once. And I know there's some people, there's a mighty big change when they first get saved. But all of us, he's in the process of changing us. We grow a little bit different every day. And we ought to be able to sing that song over and over and over again. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And it ought to be true every day of our life. And so we ought to go and we ought to say to the world, "Hey, I'm not telling you what I read about, although I read about it in this book. I'm not just telling you what I read about. I'm not just telling you about what I heard somebody else say. I'm telling you what happened to me. I'm telling you what happened in my life, in my heart, in my soul, what I experienced, how he changed my life." And so how should we go as we keep the Great Commission? We go as a son trying to please his Father. We go as a witness. Now, go to Matthew chapter 28,
probably the most famous of the great commissions, as recorded in the last chapter of Matthew, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Here's what the Bible says. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even until the end of the world." And so as we go, number three, let me catch up to my notes here. We go as a faithful co-worker. We go as a son trying to please his father. We go as a witness telling what we've seen. But we go as a co-worker working with Christ. I think this particular commission was given toward the end of the 40 days that Jesus was on earth following his resurrection. Maybe the last Sunday. Maybe when he appeared to the 500. If you read verse 16, the Bible says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, unto a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. They saw him, they worshiped him. And then he said, Go, teach, baptize, teaching them all things, and lo, I am with you alway." When we go, carrying out the Great Commission, we do not go alone. He goes with us. The Holy Spirit goes with us. The Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit leads us to people that need the Lord. The Holy Spirit tells us what to say. Good Sunday school lesson this morning. We can't help people if we don't go to where they are. We can't help people if we don't listen and try to discover what they believe so that we can know where we start. But I like what D.L. Moody said. Look, the best way to get at it is to get at it. The best way to do it is to just do it. And as we do it, we do so with the knowledge that we're not in it alone. We're not in it by ourselves. He's there with us. And so we go as a son, as a witness, and as a co-worker. Then turn to Mark, the last of the Gospels. Mark, as far as my order of how these commissions were presented, Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 15. Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 15, where the Bible says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen." Again, I think this was the last day of the 40. I think when he spoke these words, he was taken up into heaven. He says there's going to be signs as you go. You're going to cast out devils. You're going to speak with new tongues, not with the gibberish that some people say speaking in tongues is, but speaking in foreign languages that you did not learn. Speaking in a language to convey the gospel to somebody that doesn't understand the language that you speak. Exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost. Taking up serpents, drinking deadly things. And again, I don't know why you do either one of those things. I agree with Brother Larry. Snakes ought to be avoided and run from. But you're going to lay your hands on the sick, and they're going to recover. And so as we go not only as a child seeking to please his father. We go not only as a witness. We go not only as a co-worker, but we go empowered by God. Empowered by God. Again, we don't do these things on our own. We do them in the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't witness on our own. We witness in the power of the Holy Spirit. He goes with us and he empowers us to do the things we could not do in our own power. So we go as a son serving his father. We go as a witness telling what he knows. We go as a co-worker. We go empowered by God And then number five, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through verse 8. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Again, we go not just as a son serving his father, a witness telling what he knows, a co-worker, one empowered by God, but we go with one with a worldwide mission. His last words, right before he ascended, he said, start in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then the world. In our case, it would be start in Clio, then Genesee County, then Michigan, then the United States of America, and then the world. If you were here for our last Senior Saints, Gene Dowlin read a little poem about the church in the field. This church in the field. It looks a little bit different than when we first saw it. It was in the field. But this church in the field should not be satisfied with just sharing the gospel with those that live around us or in the city in which we live, or in the state in which our city is, or in the country in which our state is, but in the world. In the world. Five times. Five commissions. Which one's right? They all are. They all are. All of them say to go. And it's not a question of if we should go, but how we should go. And again, we should go as a son serving his father, a witness telling what we know, a co-worker, one empowered by God with a worldwide mission. People need the Lord. We have him. We need to share him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege that we have to share Jesus with others. And I pray, Father, that we would go in the ways that we've talked about tonight. We would go with boldness. We would go with a sense of urgency. And we would go and tell folks about our Savior. I pray if there's somebody here tonight that's not accepted Jesus. Again, Father, help them to see that their sin is leading them to hell, separates them from you, but that Jesus died for that sin, paid the price. And if they'll simply ask you, in childlike faith, ask Jesus, he'll save them. So if there's just one here tonight that's never done it, I pray you'll help them do that right now. Helping them come forward, we'll take the Word of God and from the Bible show them how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Do in our hearts tonight what you know needs to be done. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.